You were talking earlier about your vision of some of the biology of CLL. What's your vision about transformation? What do you think is going on genomically?
Yeah, so this is really one of the real big questions. We know that there are some factors related to increased incidence of Richter's transformation, and these are CLLs with a NOTCH1 mutation, these are CLLs with trisomy 12, or these are CLLs with a particular immunoglobulin rearrangement belonging to the subset 8 of the subset of the stereotype subset categorization. Nevertheless, we know that these are only associations. Not all patients with those features will develop Richter's transformation, but only a minor proportion. We know it's about 2 to 5% per year that there is a risk for Richter's transformation. Genomically, these diseases are characterized by MYC rearrangements or overexpression, are sometimes characterized by 9p deletion where p16, p15 resides. Other than that, we actually need much better understanding, and we are actively researching into epigenetic things and also transcriptomic things from RNA-seq analyses to look deeper into the mechanism of transformation of Richter's, because this is really one of the big, big questions that we have. Why does some patients with CLL develop this phenomenon of Richter's transformation and others don't? If we could identify those patients who are prone to transform ahead of time, this would probably be very, very beneficial.
You said 2 to 5% a year?
Yes. I mean, that's the overall rate that I get from the literature and from my own experience.
Of people who've been treated, or does that include people who are observed?
Well, it's actually pretty independent of treatment, because also patients without prior therapy can transform. We have the impression always that after treatment, the incidence is increasing, but from the registry data that we have available, this can also occur among patients who are untreated.
So if a patient wanted to know what the 10-year risk of transformation would be, what would you say?
Well, it depends on the disease background, but there certainly, if you live long enough, 10, 20 years, and this is the case now with these novel treatments that we have available, there's certainly a 10 to 20% chance of development of Richter's transformation. I think the notion that with ibrutinib and venetoclax treatment in the relapsed refractory setting, we see a relatively high rate of Richter's transformation. However, whatsoever, there is no evidence to suggest that ibrutinib or venetoclax induce Richter's transformation or are associated with an increased risk. The point is more, I think that with venetoclax or ibrutinib, we can control the CLL component of the disease so well that at one point the patient will develop this Richter's transformation. In the old days when we had chemotherapy only available, patients unfortunately so just wouldn't live long enough to witness their Richter's transformation. Today, we have so much to control the CLL that Richter's really is becoming a problem later in the disease history.